everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Coty. This episode is, of course, a very, very special listener episode dedicated to Mars, who wrote in via Instagram. So Mars, I really hope you enjoy your very own episode. This episode would not have been possible without your suggestion. If you want to write in like Mars did, I greatly encourage you to do so, and you can request an animal, you can give feedback to the show, anything like that, and you can do that in one of three ways. Well, I suppose you could do it in all the three ways if you really wanted to, but you can write in to Instagram via the Instagram handle Relax with Animal Facts, or you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. And I still have not gotten any of the third option, which is the animal suggestion via carrier pigeon. I like to think that there are some of you out there training your carrier pigeons to be able to send a request to Steph Wolf in Canada. And we actually did a podcast episode on the carrier pigeon not too long ago, so you can learn how to do that on that episode. But all joking aside, let us go into the review portion of the show, where I read a review that you guys have submitted. It's usually through Apple Podcasts, I'm noticing. And this one comes from KT-Wolf, who is writing all the way from the United States of America. And KT-Wolf writes, "There is an uncanny, peaceful aspect to Relax with Animal Facts. Pick an episode, put on the timer, and let go. Often, husband and I discuss what we've learned the next day. Thank you, Steph Wolf, for all of your efforts to bring good to the world. Your brilliant idea is helping so many people." KT Wolf, thank you for your abundance of super kind words. All I am able to say is that I am so grateful to have listeners that enjoy the show as much as you do, and that listeners such as yourself and all of you guys listening is what really makes this show special. As I've said on a previous episode, it's not me that makes this podcast. It's not even the animal facts necessarily, but it is all of you out there listening and being a part of this wonderful little family that keeps getting bigger and bigger. If you want to leave a review because the show has helped you, or even if you have a bone to pick with Steph Wolf, I love to read your guys' submissions, and I cherish every single one of them. It is only a shame that every week I can only read just one of them. And let me just say where I got my facts from for this episode, because if it wasn't for these facts, this episode would not have been possible. I got these facts from NationalGeographic.com, Animals.SanDiegoZoo.org, kidadl.com and softschools.com. If you would like to learn more about these cool animals, and I'm sure about many other animals, please, you can visit those resources. I leave them in the description of every episode so you can go and explore more if you desire. And now I would like all of you to notice possibly where you're carrying some of your tension. Is it in the shoulders? Is it in the neck? Is it in the arms? Really, everybody is different. In my case today, I am actually very loosey-goosey, and so there's not much for me to untense. I find that we are sometimes going through our day, and we'll notice our shoulders are all the way up, almost covering our ears like an anatomical earmuff. And so that is what we are trying to undo a little bit here. I would like you to do your best to relax those parts of your body as we go together into this immersive little experience into the rainforests where the coati resides. Here in Canada, I don't hear that all that often. But before we go anywhere with the coati, I just want to say that they are not only found in rainforests, but will also enjoy grasslands and even mountain slopes. So we are trekking into the rainforests this time, but sometimes you can also find them in some different areas. And so let's start with what a coati even is. Before you guys search them up or anything like that, I am going to do my best with the help of these articles to explain what they look like, and then afterwards you can see just how close a picture you drew up in your mind. The coati is an agile, fruit-loving, meat-eating insectivore, which means that they love insects. And they are what are known as an opportunistic omnivore. They will weigh about as much as a large house cat, and these mostly diurnal mammals are native to Central and South America and parts of the southwestern United States. The word diurnal is antithetical, that is, it's an antonym or opposite of nocturnal. So nocturnal animals will be awake for most of the night and do their hunting and eating during the night, but diurnal animals, such as the coati, is going to be active during the day. And visually speaking, the coati resembles a cross between a dog, a monkey, and a raccoon. And I wonder just what kind of images that would bring up if you were to try to cross those three together. But this animal is indeed related to the raccoon. The white-nosed coati, or Coati Mundi species, they have a face with gray and black marking, with a white spot around their eyes, their cheeks, and at the end of their muzzles. They have dark and light rings that are seen on the tail of most coati species. They are going to have thick fur that is reddish to light brown and lighter in color on the body's bottom side, with black color on the back. The coati has a long, highly sensitive, pig-like snout that can rotate in all directions for about 60 degrees. How would you like a nose like that? Me personally, I already have quite a large nose. It tans about an hour or two faster than the rest of my body, but I would definitely take a 60 degree rotation in all directions if I could, just maybe as a bit of a party trick. They will use this snout to forage for food and as well to push objects around. They're going to have ankles that are extremely flexible and double jointed, which will enable them to descend trees with a head first posture. They also have strong jaws and claws that are helpful for eating and digging. They also have a tail almost as long as the body that will provide balance on the trees. And so here we have an example of an animal that has anatomical and physiological characteristics perfectly designed for their environment, with an awesome rotational snout that they use for foraging and for pushing stuff around, very flexible ankles and strong jaws and claws that are good for eating and digging, and then the tail that will help with balance while they're living this arboreal lifestyle in the trees. These guys are seriously cool. And before I get any emails saying that I missed the scientific name and that I ought to embarrass myself by reading it, let me do that right now. This one is actually a little bit more mild. Its scientific name is Nezua or Nezuela. And looking at the root of that scientific name of NASU, that says something to me about nasal or nose, so it is likely that the scientific name has something to do with their very cool nose. And so coatis can be found from the southwestern United States all the way to northern Argentina and Uruguay. They are adaptable animals, able to survive across a wide variety of habitats. And so in today's case, how we say we are in the rainforests, as you can hear, but they will also be in some of those other regions that we covered at the top of the show. And part of that flexibility is, of course, going to be the coati's ability to eat almost anything it comes across. They are not picky eaters. Across their range, these animals will gulp down everything from leaves and fruits to insects, tarantulas, birds, lizards, snakes, rodents, and even crocodile eggs. And so sometimes when we think about an animal covering a large variety of habitats, we won't even think into those implications of what that means. Not only is it able to traverse and survive predation in those habitats, but also different areas are going to have different things for them to be able to eat. And in the case of the coati, they ask for seconds even when it comes to tarantulas. And this means that wherever they live, they are going to play an important role in the food chain. And while they are walking around during the day, they are going to maintain what are known as territories. So females will stay active in their band, looking after youngsters, finding food, and socializing. And there appears to be a kind of dominance hierarchy, as is often seen in animal species, and that will be within their selective groups. And they will bond with one another using things like grooming. Adult males are solitary most of the year and will not help raise their young. So their to-do list is going to be much shorter. It's going to be, where are the fruit? Where are the tarantulas? I want something to eat. And if you wanted to get a hold of one of the fruits the Cody is eating, watch out, because they can and will defend themselves. They have those very dexterous front feet and claws, like we learned about earlier in terms of the mobility that they have. And so they can give you a pretty nasty scratch if you reach for that fruit. And in terms of their communication, the Coati has a very broad range of communications that will include chirping, grunting, and snorting. And when startled, they have been observed to leap into a tree and make these little woofing noises or clicking noises, as if to say, guys, there is somebody here. Females, for example, will use a barking vocalization to warn bandmates of danger. And they even make a whimpering sound to keep their young close by during that weaning period. Communication is something that is going to change drastically from species to species. I think of, for example, the whale episode, in which they are going to use these complicated little songs to communicate miles and miles away, in contrast to these animals using those clicking and woofing noises that sound entirely different and also serve a very different purpose. Our ability to communicate as we do, and as I am currently doing with you in these complex structures of word order, grammar, syntax, all of these things we tend to take for granted, but really are a wonderful gift that allow us to be so expressive. I doubt that many of you would be listening to this show if I just started the podcast woofing and clicking. And so the females are going to live in groups called bands, along with their young. The males are going to leave the band at around 2 years old to live a solitary life until the breeding season, when they groom their way back into the females' good graces, but only temporarily. After breeding, which occurs in the trees, females become aggressive toward the males and drive them out of the band. And there is a reason for this, because the males may attempt to actually kill some of the other young and jeopardize the next generation. This sort of behavior can be observed in many species other than these guys. And then after this sort of back and forth breeding session, the males will go back to a solitary bachelor life. And one little fact is that when the Coati sleeps, they're going to tuck their long noses into their bellies. Those little rotational antennas of a nose have to be tucked in and secure. The gestation period, meaning how long the females are pregnant for, is going to last about 11 weeks, so fairly short, and it's going to end up with 2 to 7 baby coatis. And the females are going to leave the group to give birth in the nest that is in a tree or on a rocky ledge. And I would assume that this is for protection from predators to those little baby coatis. And in terms of how long they live, they can survive 7 to 8 years in the wild, and as we would expect, a little bit longer in captivity, about 15 years. They have a fairly conservative life expectancy, as we could expect. So let's go to the final fact of the episode, which is the name, coati. What really does it mean? Where does it come from? Maybe there are some cool facts about it, and there are. According to the Encyclopedia of Mammals, coati is not short for coati mundi. The females and their young form bands of 20 individuals or more, while adult males are solitary. This difference in their social structure confused biologists, who initially described the solitary males as a separate species. The use of coati mundi means lone coati in Guarani, which is an indigenous language of Brazil. And this designation of the male coati as the lone coati is what reflects this error of the use of the word coati mundi. But the actual word coati comes from Spanish quachi or quasie, from a name in the Tupi native language of Brazil, and according to the Oxford English Dictionary, it is a compound of cua, which means belt, plus tim, which means nose. And so that is why we have the name coati. What a cool animal. Thank you, Mars, again for writing in, and I hope that you enjoyed your episode. If you want to learn more about a certain animal, please send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or send a message to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts. I love hearing about which animals you find to be cool. And so thank you all for joining me on this little trek through the rainforests in search of some coatis. And boy, did we find some cool things about them. I hope you will join me on our next adventure looking for the next animal on the podcast. Take care.